Welcome to Yald, the podcast. Today, we speak with Leo, who has been involved with the organization for several years. Leo talks to us about being a big brother, a volunteer, a mentor, and a coach, all within the organization.
My name is Leo. I've been affiliated with Yald for close to 10 years now.
Under what capacity are you affiliated?
Right now, with the Winter League, I'm actually a head coach.
Is this the first time you're a head coach?
This is the second time, second go around.
Okay.
I was a head coach when we did kind of like an expansion team. Mm-hmm. I was a head coach of the Titans. This was, I want to say, maybe 3 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And that was my first go around being a head coach. Last year, I was the statistician. I took on that role because Ray, who was the normal statistician, wanted to see his kids play a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm all for it, you know.
Is that a complicated role?
It gets some, you got to get used to it.
Yeah.
It's definitely not as easy as it looks.
What kind of stats are you taking?
Everything. From drop passes.
Drop flags. Passes?
Yeah. Drop passes, flags, pass deflections, interceptions. Everything you could possibly think of that a stat would require.
So, for all the games?
All the games.
So you're there all day?
All day.
Okay, the statistician, folks. The statistician. So what about, how is that different from your role as a coach this year? Or even a couple of years when you did that?
This year, I'm not really focused on that. I'm not focused on the stats. I'm more focused on what I can put out on the field and make the kids be at their best potential.
Yeah.
That's more what I'm focused on. I've always been focused on that.
Which role do you prefer?
Personally, I love head coaching.
Yep. So I want to go back a little bit. So you said you've been with the organization for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get involved?
So my younger brother at that time, he was 11 years old and he wasn't into sports. He didn't like, you know, he played basketball like with his friends, but it was never anything organized per se. And, you know, I've always been a football guy. I've always been athletic. I used to run track, play basketball in high school. So I never had the opportunity growing up to be involved in something like this.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and I've told him this many times too. I said, I live vicariously through you because now the opportunities are here. So being, you know, growing up without a father figure, I took on that responsibility. I took on that role and I said, we're going to do this. Do it for a year. If you like it, cool. If you don't, you know, at least you try something new.
Yeah.
Right. And he enjoyed it the first year. Mm-hmm. Went off to high school. He went to Cardinal Spelman for a year and actually played tackle.
Oh, really?
For a year. Yep.
Good for him, man.
And then ever since then, it just kind of stuck with me. He's been a part of the program for, I want to say, roughly around the same amount of time, both as a player, and now he's my assistant coach.
Is he now?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Adrian.
Let's go back to the beginning again.
Mm-hmm.
What was your first impression of the program, if you remember that?
My first impression was, you know, my thing is I never really, the first impression's everything for a lot of people, right? But I don't have any expectations when it comes down to that. Because I've kind of like learned to live my life not to expect anything from anyone or expect anything, any sort of outcome.
Okay.
And initially, it was a very organized organization. Plus, I knew Carlos from, you know, grade school.
Yeah.
And even the whole signing up process, it was very professional, and I thought that, hey, you know, this definitely is a good organization.
And so, and you came in the second year of its creation.
Yes.
I believe they're 11 years in, so
yep.
You came in in year two. It's funny you should say professional because, like Carlos will tell you himself, he doesn't feel like it's been professional. I don't think he would categorize it as professional back then. However, here you are.
Yep.
And that was your impression, though.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can speak on that because, again, you know, my brother was young at the time. I don't think he was. I don't even think there was a youth clinic.
There was not.
Yeah. So, you know, I he, I don't want to say he vouched for me, but being the fact that I knew him, you know, outside of Yalt growing up as, you know, my older brother's friend, he was like, you know, I'll take him on. That's perfectly fine. I was his point of emergency contact, you know, so on and so forth. And then, you know, essentially that's when he was on the 49ers at that time. That was his first year.
Yeah, your brother now.
Yep.
And you were coaching or
head coach? I was just kind of like a parent, you know, helping, so to speak.
So then what made you want to volunteer, right? Because here you are, you're like myself, taking somebody else to the game. In my instance, it took my son. Your instance, you took your brother. But then what made you want to take it further and volunteer?
The reaction that I was getting from the kids, honestly. They were more receptive to my thought process on how the game should be played. And, you know, a lot of the times, just in general, in life in general, a lot of kids don't reach out to certain people because, one, they're afraid or they're too embarrassed or they're shy or whatever the case may be.
Or they just don't know how.
They just don't know how to.
Yeah.
So me being the fact that I'm one of the quote-unquote younger coaches, and me and everyone knows how passionate I am about football, they reach out to me. And that...
And you weren't expecting that.
No, not at all. I was there for my brother. That was literally the only reason why I was there. And then I became friends along the way with a lot of the coaches, obviously a lot of the kids. They still reach out to me till this day.
No way.
Hey, let's go work out.
No way.
I'm all for it. All for it.
So when you said people knew how passionate you were about football, can you, what are we talking about? Are you one of the vocal people on the sideline?
100%.
Give me an example.
I help kids. I don't care what team you're on. I coach kids on the side. Hey, I need you to do this. I need you to look at what you're doing. I'm not taking anything away from any other coaches, but here's what I would tell you to do. And on the sideline, I'm very vocal. I have conversations with kids, not just about football, but just about life in general. And, you know, that kept me coming back every single week and understanding more and more and more about some of the kids and what they encounter on a daily basis. But obviously it's only once a week where we have these games. So
for a couple hours.
Exactly. 4 hours, 5 hours a day. You can't take that away from anyone.
But that's just 4 or 5 hours a day for the people that are there all day. Because you got some people that just play one game and they're out. But some people stay.
Yep. A lot of the kids stay just because, you know, the camaraderie that they build.
It's like a big old tailgate.
Exactly. There you go. Exactly.
Tailgating at Yald.
Yep.
So let's talk about the kids. How would you describe the kids in a few words or many words, whatever you choose, but how would you describe the kids that are involved in Yald, whether it's today or even in the past?
A lot of them are characters. They have a great sense of humor. And a lot of times,
jokes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jokes happening.
A lot of jokes. And these are things that I've never encountered as a kid.
You know,
growing up.
What do you mean?
Well, their sense of humor.
Yeah.
My sense of humor growing up was very dry.
Yeah.
It was funny or it wasn't.
Yeah.
Now it like the things that comes out of these kids' mouths are very you think about it.
Very nuanced, like, yeah. Right? Very
nuanced. Makes you think about it. I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty clever. It's hilarious.
Tell me more about the kids, man. Their characters, they're funny.
Yeah. And seeing the progression, I think that really cements like my thought process about this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the kids, I've seen them grow up to what they are now.
Yeah.
You know, seeing them go through high school, wanting to do something in life in general.
Yeah.
Is always a good sign that they're heading in the right path.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of these kids go away to college, wanting to do something with their lives, wanting to play football or basketball or whatever the case may be. That always makes me feel proud because I never got to see that growing up. You know, so...
Understood.
Being a part of Yald, I've got to witness it firsthand some of the great moments that these kids like deserve in their life, you know? So that definitely, it plays a huge factor into why I continuously come back, because I continuously want to see kids grow.
Yeah, I think that speaks to your character, because, you know, once your brother aged out, you literally have no skin in the game.
Nope. Not at all.
No skin in the game. And it's like, and there's no pay for being a volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
Right? It's just everybody's there for the love of something.
Mm-hmm.
Of something.
Exactly.
Some people, it's the love of the game. Some people, it's the love of camaraderie. Some people, it's the love of community.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, they're there. You mentioned the progression. Mm-hmm. You mentioned watching the kids. Would you say that's the best part of being y'all, or is there something else, or is there a lot more?
That's a great question. I think there's a little bit more to it. You know, I'm a very emotional guy, so when I see, you know, kids literally, you know, going off to college and going out of state, you know, being the fact that Washington Heights is a very close-knit community,
mm-hmm.
where I grew up at, we don't get to see those things growing up.
Not often, no.
No, it's very hard to, unless you have somebody pushing you. So I think Yald, being the fact that everyone, a lot of the coaches, volunteers, you know, so on and so forth, and Adrian can speak to this on his own account. You know, he was a player and now he's a coach, and now he has the ability to push these kids. He's taking a more proactive approach, being an assistant coach than I have. And I'm the head coach. So that just goes to show you that what he's experienced in Yald and what he wants to experience out in the field, it's night and day between the two, you know, so.
And a far cry from that 11-year-old kid who wasn't really into stuff.
100%. Yep. So now, you know.
And you got to witness this firsthand.
Yep. I got to witness it firsthand. I've seen all the ups and the downs that you could possibly think of.
Yeah.
You know, he played tackle 1 year in
Spelman. Is it Spelman or is it Hayes? No, Spelman.
It's Spelman.
Spelman's in the Bronx.
Yep.
Baychester.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. He played 1 year there. He wasn't doing good in school. And obviously, it's not a public school. It's private. So we had to pay for it. And he didn't do well in school. So I said, we're going to get you out of Spelman until you shape up.
Wow.
And from that moment on, he went back to Yalk. I didn't push him. I didn't say do this. I didn't say do that. He initiated that whole conversation of, well, I want to play this year.
How old is he for that?
14.
And this is when he got pulled out of Hayes. Spelman.
Yep. Right after that first year in Spelman. Mind you, he was a freshman.
Yeah.
He was on the varsity team.
As a freshman. Big kid or something?
I mean, he's grown up to be that now. But he was athletic. I mean, he was kind of stocky for his age.
Because a freshman on varsity is not usual.
No, 100%. They're not. And he played varsity. I'll never forget this. He had a pick six. And I saw it happening the whole way.
What a moment for you.
Big moment.
I know for him, that's nice. Yeah. Cool. But for you, though.
Yep.
That's got to be because you've been preparing for this moment.
100%. Yep.
Hell yeah.
I was the only parent screaming because I saw it happening. I saw the play developing, and I started screaming right when he got the pick.
No, what, screaming what? Screaming excitement?
I was like, yeah, go, Adrian, go. And he was, I'll never forget it. He ran to the end zone, celebrated with his teammates, and then came back to the sideline. And I was just like, I didn't know what to say because I never was able to witness that with anything in my life.
Yeah.
But being able to witness it firsthand about something that I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Always.
Priceless.
There's no words I can put for that moment.
Priceless.
Yep.
Priceless.
Speechless, priceless, just anything you could possibly think of.
Now, with that being said, With that being said, obviously he had some success because he was a freshman and was placed on the varsity team. He had a pick six, which not everybody gets a pick six.
No.
And you're saying that he started doing poorly academically.
Yep.
And you decided to remove him from the school, even though the prospects for a successful high school football career, it was there. Am I exaggerating?
No, not at all.
So what made you want to pull him out?
Academics first. School is always a number one with anything. There's a reason why my younger brother, who's 12, is actually 13 now. There's a reason why he's not playing in y'all. And that's my decision. Because academics always first, no matter what. You can be a freak of an athlete. I don't care. If you don't do well in school, you're not doing anything that would entitle you to be or see yourself in the future of any sport activity, right? Same thing in high school, same thing in college, right? A lot of kids slack off in college because, oh, you know, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Like, I'll cheat or a ton of movies, you know, a lot of kids encounter that. Not here.
So you're telling me that you have a younger brother, another one, who is eligible to play in Yald.
Yep.
But you're not letting it happen until he gets his academics in order.
Yep.
So this is the same exact thing that happened with Adrian.
Yep.
Years ago. I understand. I understand. Forgive me for asking that, but I really wanted the audience to kind of get a sense of where you're coming from this and why football is important to you. Not football, but why the program is important to you. Because I think the audience needs to understand that it's also, y'all is special because of the quality of the people.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
Listen, man, if you're out there, you want to come to a Yald game, hey, come through. There's no seats.
I bring my own chair.
Bring your own chair. There's no seats.
Yep.
Parking is not abundant.
Not at all.
All right? It's not near the train station.
No. You got to do a little bit of a walk.
Yeah, you got to walk, babe.
Yeah, I know.
There's a walk involved. It's a trek, as we would like to call it back in the day. So there's nothing
around there.
There's nothing. There's no point of interest. There's no attraction.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing there. There's a nice park.
Yeah.
But what makes y'all special is the people. That's the point. So what do you think is the most challenging part about working with the kids?
Getting through to them. A lot of the kids have a wall up because, again, we're in a society now that it's not an ideal situation for a child growing up to be successful, you know, with the times now with COVID and just anybody in general. If I can be a role model to one kid and have that outreach, that's all I care about. If I can't get through to someone, well, guess what? If you don't feel comfortable talking to me, there's plenty of other people that are volunteers in this organization that can help you.
Plenty of different personalities, too.
Very different personalities. Very, very different. So, you know, that's why I, with me in particular, like I take a laid back approach to how I approach someone because I've always been a very understanding person. I've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations in my life, and if I can relate to you in some sort of aspect, I'm going to give you the bread and butter of what it is that I did to overcome that. And if you can take that and walk away with it and change your life, so to speak, that's all I'm here for.
You know, it's funny you should say that because the question was, what's the most challenging part about working with the kids? And you said it's simply getting through because it seems like you're willing, ready, and able.
Yeah.
Drop of a dime.
All the time.
Finding the willing customer is not always easy.
Yep.
But it happens. It certainly happens.
All you have to do is reach out.
What do you think is the most unique or best feature about Yald?
The willingness of the volunteers to come in every week, prepared early, set up the field, and just having conversations and having a good time.
Prepared.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Chewy, he's the head ref.
Yeah.
He's there every week, no questions asked. When an hour and a half before the game starts.
Way before everybody.
Way before everyone.
Putting the cones down.
Putting the cones down. When they, as soon as, you know, the time starts getting closer to game time, you see a lot of kids trickling in, mm-hmm. helping clean up the field. If there's, you know, bad weather or whatever the case may be. That is a very unique thing because not only does it teach them accountability, it teaches them responsibility too at the same time. Because this is their field. This is their outlet. This is the way that they want to spend their Saturdays, then so be it, mm-hmm. you know? So that's a unique thing for me. To me, the way I look at it, I'm like my profession, I work in the paint industry. And my thing has always been customer service, right? You go to Home Depot or you go to Lowe's, you don't get that.
No.
You get the point of the finger, oh, it's down this aisle on the right-hand side. If you come to... Like, I work for Sherwin-Williams. So, you get that personal attention, that personal conversation, that personal guidance, per se. It's the same thing with y'all. You get that interaction with multiple people. Just having conversation with anyone. You don't get that in other organizations.
No, you don't.
You don't get that personable attention. That maybe kids require.
You don't. What do you foresee for the future of y'all, though? With all that being said,
to me, it relies more on the kids now than us. Yes, we can do things on the outside of, you know, recruiting or mm-hmm. you know, attending like schools or, you know, just something be involved in the community per se, mm-hmm. Which Carlos obviously has done. But I think it's the kids reaching out to their friends. And having them build that camaraderie even closer now in a more tight-knit group than we can do in ourselves, you know, because we all have jobs. It's hard for us to have that outlook, to have that outreach when kids go to school every day.
They're around kids.
They're around kids. You can share your experiences with them. That's the core of how we can sustain and grow at the same time. It starts with the kids, always.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.